you know, to be able to distinguish between wants and needs is an incredibly empowering thing, and it's liberating. Now, there are forces that don't want you to do that. You know, when large numbers of people willingly participate in their own brainwashing, then blatantly totalitarian government isn't necessary.
Okay.
But when we, as people, as communities, can distinguish between wants and needs and really meet our needs solidly, but not get lost in trying ever more to satisfy extraneous needs that are imposed into us, really, by advertising consumer culture, then we have our freedom.
But I have to ask you then the paradoxical question. It begs to be asked. Is the purchase of your book, The New Good Life, a want or a need?
Well, what I hope is that it serves people in making that distinction so that they can live closer to the heart of their lives and more in touch with what is essential. And in that sense, it becomes a bridge to deep needs.
And I'm not trying to be obnoxious here, but I'm just saying, so then buy The New Good Life and then find out afterward whether the purchase of it was for a want or for a need.
Well, I think it is a need to find our way back to our centers and to relieve ourselves from the pressures of needs that aren't really needs, of thinking they're needs. But, you know, advertising is very sophisticated at making us feel as though we need that new sweater. We need the latest cell phone. We need the flat screen TV. We need the brand new car. But we don't need those things. We need healthy lives. We need connections to our families and our friends and our relationships to thrive. We need to experience ourselves as gracious and inspired and clear and solid grounded people.
Well, and I think the one thing you didn't mention there, and I know you do in the book, is time. We need more time to be able to spend with the people that we value and the things that we value doing.
Absolutely.
And that's what The New Good Life, as I read, every paragraph to me spoke to time.
Yes, and you know how much we waste our time in a make-waste society, earning the money to buy things that we don't really need, that don't really serve our spirits, that don't serve our unfolding. And, you know, there's a way that the consumer trance, one of the ways that it imprisons us, is it makes us think that our self-worth is just a matter of our net worth, that how much money we have is a statement of the value of us. And, you know, if you want to really lock people out of themselves, if you want to alienate people from themselves so you could control them, what better way would there be than to make them feel that only those with big money are worthy, are valuable, and that the rest of us don't count?
Or that in a democracy, only the people with a lot of money should get a vote. And I think that also speaks to this emphasis on having a lot gives you more influence. And I don't believe that's the should be the basis of a successful society. Let me ask you, and then I'm going to get a couple of calls that are waiting for you here. We're talking with John Robbins, The New Good Life, Living Better Than Ever in an Age of Less. If you had to give a description, a thumbnail of what you think, just kind of a ballpark, broad strokes idea of what people's lives would look like if they followed your advice, what would it look like? What kind of house would they be in? What would their life be like?
Well, their house would be more like a nest and less like a warehouse. And it wouldn't be full of extra stuff that you don't use. It would be naturally elegant. It would have probably solar panels on it to generate the electricity, so you wouldn't be dependent on the grid. It would have compost toilets, if possible, or some form of waste disposal that was ecological. And it would have food growing nearby, perhaps your own garden, perhaps a community garden that you could partake in or from, so that you had local connections to food sources, to energy sources, rather than depending on energy and food brought from very great distances. Because in the economy to come, the economy we're moving into, distance is going to be costly. We've depended on cheap oil to the extent that we could ship things all over the place and bring energy from great distances and food from great distances. That's not going to be possible in the days to come. So what I'm asking people to do is to prepare for that, to be prudent, to be thoughtful, to be conscientious in creating lives that aren't so dependent on cheap oil. We aren't going to have it.